to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, it's Carol, co-host of The Divine Breadcrumb. This episode is brought to you by Carol L. Campos Coaching. Why coach with me when there are so many coaches out there? I do things differently. I don't jump right into your goal. Why? Well, what I've learned is that the subconscious mind is running 90% of the show. That's where we start. We clear any emotional blocks and limiting beliefs first, making sure you know your why and are aligned with where you're headed before tackling your goal. Whether you want to change careers or simply want more joy in your life, I can teach you strategies to help you gain the clarity needed to go where your heart is calling. To get started, I invite you to sign up for a free discovery session at carollcampos.com. Together, let's light your path. Hello, everybody. This is Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
So for the last few months, we have been talking about a magical place in Hopedale, Massachusetts called Dragonflies in Amber, where healers and mediums and other light workers come to teach and heal and enlighten. Well, today our guest is Julie Vinson, owner and founder of Dragonflies in Amber. And we wanted to bring Julie on the show, not only because she's an amazing human being, but because the origin story of Dragonflies in Amber is something out of a movie. In 2011, Julie's dear friend, Patricia Mowry, passed away. But before she did, she told Julie that she wanted her to learn how to speak to her on the other side. So in essence, become a medium. And at this time in Julie's life, she was about as far away from the woo-woo as you can get. But Julie trusted the divine breadcrumb she received from Patty, and what transpired over the last few years is nothing short of miraculous. And I'll never forget the day Deb and I met Julie. She was having an open house on an unusually warm day in September, and she greeted us right away with so much warmth and positive vibes. And all I can think was, how does this tiny woman have so much energy? And we immediately loved her and couldn't wait to talk further. So fast forward a few months, and Deb and I have had the honor of collaborating with Julie and now are members of the Dragonflies in Amber team. And Julie has created a beautiful and healing space that is 100% inspired. We can't wait for you to hear her story. So let's get to it. Julie, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, ladies. I sure hope that I can live up to that explanation of who I am and how I got here.
You already have.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you. I feel just as blessed to have, you know, had you cross my path as well.
Yay. So as I mentioned in the intro, the origin of Dragonflies in Amber is really incredible. So if you could walk us through how everything unfolded.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I couldn't be where I am today without my family, my friends, the practitioners, the clients. And I would love to be able to take credit for what has developed, but it's miraculous to me every day as well. It's so universally led, those divine breadcrumbs you talk about. But yes, you hit the main points of how Dragonflies in Amber became a place opposed to just a saying. So Patty did pass away, unfortunately, in 2011, and I never saw anyone go through the death or dying process with more dignity than this lovely lady. I can't even tell you. So I decided that my best way to honor her was to live my life passionately because she was not going to be given that opportunity. So when she did come to me and in our conversations through her passing, she did ask me to learn to talk to her, which is a skill set that I had kept dormant most of my life because I came from a very mainstream type A, label your label maker, get inside the box. And I had a wonderful family. And it wasn't that they weren't open to it, but mainstream was not open to it. So I just was, in a way, taught to be afraid. So I shut it down. And then, you know, we had the luxury of all of the famous people we now see on TV starting to bring it out to community. And during that process, Patty and I were addicted to several shows on the TV that we would consistently talk about. So when she did start to pass, she asked me, you know, can you tap into this? And of course, I was petrified. It's a life-altering decision on opening that door, because with everything good, there is the counterbalance of not so good. So the first things that she lovingly taught me after her passing was go get the education. So I read every book I could get my hands on. I went to a local yoga studio at the time, because that's where you could get some sort of education to tip your toe in the water if you didn't have the inkling or the financial means to be able to go to an energy medicine school. So I did that. And there I met Myra. And she actually channels a panel of higher knowledge. It was miraculous. And in that one night, my life did a 180. So Myra, being an amazing channel, who also is part of the Dragonflies and Amber team, she was channeling, and this panel came through and honestly yelled at me and said I was not on my life path, and my body was not well, and my relationship's not well, and I wasn't centered, and I wasn't on my path. And the way that it was delivered, for some reason, just clicked, and I started to listen. So I started to follow all those divine breadcrumbs that the universe sends to you. So when you step out of your intellect and honestly just follow the signs that you are given, whether they are a thought, a bird, a dragonfly, if you will, you just start using your intellect to execute what is already delivered to you. And that's how Dragonflies and Amber created itself.
It's amazing.
Such an amazing... To call it a space doesn't do it justice. It is an entity.
Yeah, I cannot say the words Dragonflies and Amber without saying it's a community, because there's nothing singular about it.
Right.
I quite honestly cannot take credit for its creation. I can take credit for its execution.
I love that. So much of what you've built is a result in trusting something that you couldn't see or prove. Why is listening to our intuition so important? And how does the universe support people, or, you know, the collective you, not just you, but the collective you?
Right. So in my particular belief system, I think your intuition is the way for all that is to contact you, including your higher self. So for me, I believe our higher self sets out the guidelines or the outlines of what we want to do before we physically manifest. And then that gut instinct is either going to tell you to go for it or not go for it, by either tightening or giving you butterflies. And we're taught to not listen to that. We're taught to make the list of the pros and cons and follow what makes sense. And to some extent, yes, you need to have that gauge. But if your instinct or your gut is telling you not to do something, don't do it. And if it's telling you to do it, even should that circumstance or situation go awry, or what we would consider a failure, I don't, because there's a lesson in there for me or the people around me or all of us that I'm supposed to learn. And like most humans, I tend to learn the hard way.
Right.
Yes. We call that a brick to the head.
Yes. We call it the mallet.
Yeah.
Right.
But I have found, if I can look back and, you know, with that 20/20 hindsight, once I stopped being a victim and having things happen to me and saw it as them happening for me, everything changed.
Yes. And Carol and I have talked about this several times on the show, about how the more you trust the universe, the more the universe comes up to do more. It's sort of like that. I don't even want to call it a muscle. It's like once they realize you're listening, they're like, okay, we're in.
Right. They've been waiting.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, for eternity, for us to tap in. And I can remember going back, you know, 5-10 years ago, and if I had heard someone speak as I speak now, I would think, oh my gosh, this young lady has gone off of her rocker.
Right.
But it's not the case. I have never, and I'm going to be 50 in just a couple of weeks, and I can quite frankly say I have never physically or mentally felt better.
How about that?
Yeah. That's a wonderful thing. And Julie, you touched on something about trusting your intuition. Some, you know, our body gives us those signals. So a lot of us, and including myself, it's in our stomach. How do you kind of tell the difference between what is the feeling of fear and what is, this is a signal to move forward? Because sometimes just because you feel fear doesn't mean you're not supposed to go for it. So how do you kind of know what should I move forward with and what should I kind of hold back?
A lot of it is knowing yourself, but quite honestly, for me, I get a physical sensation in my stomach that tells me, is this a knot or is this butterflies? Because I have that rational thought that says, no, this is going to be the long way, or hey, this may not turn out so well. But if I still feel excited or feel that magnetic pull to do it, I'm going to learn something, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. It's something I need to experience. So you want to keep your rational mind involved in it. You don't want to, you know, go out and do anything harmful. But if you are coming from a place where you just have the purest of intention, then I think you're doing okay.
Yeah. And clearly you do. And I think that's what's so cool about this whole thing is that it just keeps growing. And it's not like you put it out there like, come here, healers, one and all. Like, it really, it's amazing how this community has just grown. And it, because, again, you trusted in something you couldn't see.
I trust every day. And the reason that I do is because, you know, since Patty has passed away and since I've met Myra, I just listen and I feel opposed to think. So I have very much taken on an attitude of my intellect and all of the skill sets that the mainstream life has given me the opportunity to be able to execute this. So I wake up in the morning and I honestly say, good morning, universe. Can't wait to see what you have for me today. And I roll with, other than the general outlines of, you know, having a significant other and having friends and family and practitioners and children that depend on me, those mainstream things get taken care of, but even those get taken care of easier.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So I touched on the fact that you're a medium, but you also have a passion for mindset work and energy medicine. Would you talk to us a little bit about that?
So for me, mindset started with, I say, a gift at this point in my life that was given to me at the age of 24. So at 24, I had a stomachache and I went to the doctor and it turned out to be a 7-pound cancerous tumor.
Oh my God.
So within a month or so period, I was in the hospital and having my stomach, spleen, stem of my pancreas removed, a few years later, the gallbladder, a few years later than that, part of the right lung. And I always had active tumors. So during this whole process, as I said, I'm going to be 50. So during this like 24, 25 year process of going through mainstream medicine, which I will never turn my back on, they came across a tumor between my carotid and jugular at the base of my brain. And their mainstream, long story short answer was, eventually you will have a stroke or stroke-like symptoms and we will remove the tumor then. And I thought, okay, so when does that happen? And they said, well, anytime basically from today till you're 93.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, well, that's not a very good answer. So basically I walked out of the office with, okay, so I have a ticking time bomb. Like, no, thank you. No, I don't think so. That's not the answer. So I started looking into holistic medicines. You know, was it Chinese teas? Was it acupuncture? All of those things that years and millions of years ago we used. And then our intellect took over. And I'm not discounting mainstream medicine. I still go because it's a piece. But I came across Reiki medicine, which is energy medicine. It's the taking the universal life force that is around us all the time and what we're made of and how to deliver that to yourself or other people. And the physical and mental help I received from that was incredible. So, not to overshare, but I think it's a valuable piece to this. This carny triad syndrome, I say I had, because it first of all took them 21 years to diagnose it.
Wow.
104 people in the world had it. Now there's going to be 103 because energy medicine is curing it. So I know that around the world, there's a lot of people that are probably having a reaction to that statement. But I have films, I have MRIs and CAT scans to show you that I have had no medical treatment other than the surgeries. And since those surgeries, I've been doing Reiki medicine and they're just disappearing.
Wow.
So they have no reason. These doctors, although they're still monitoring me, have no reason why. They're just going away. Well, it's because I believe I can heal myself. And Reiki, energy medicine, multidimensional energy healing, all of those things you're going to hear more and more about, add them to your healthcare routine.
Yeah, it's so important. And I don't want to be cynical, but you can't help but be cynical in that, you know, the traditional medical environment just doesn't want to embrace these things, not because they don't work, but because they're threatened.
Correct.
And we've got to find a way to all work together. Because I agree with you, we can't throw traditional medicine out, or you can't even call it traditional, new medicine. Let's call it that.
Yes. We do the traditional medicine, Deb.
Exactly. You know, I'm not saying we're going to throw, you know, if I break my arm, I'm going to go to the ER and have them set my arm.
Correct.
But it's all going to work together. There's good in all of it that can be brought together and, you know, to heal.
That's exactly right. So let's take the breaking your arm circumstance. So, you know, now you've broken your arm and you go to the ER and they set it, and that's great. If you go to an energy medicine practitioner or you learn energy medicine yourself, because we do know how to heal ourselves unless it is within our path to have certain things to learn and or to pass from. So if you've broken your arm and you want to wait the traditional however many weeks it is for it to heal, that's wonderful and that's your choice. You go see your local energy medicine practitioner and we're going to cut that time down exponentially.
Yes, absolutely. And it's miraculous. I mean, I've seen it and I've mentioned this several times on the show. And I didn't know the statistic until after the fact, but the frequency at which cats purr at heals bone.
That's correct. This is where your holographic sound healing and the crystal mold and that sort of thing comes in, because those are included in energy medicine. It's not just your Reiki practitioners or, you know, your quantum healing practitioners. It's your sound healing as well. I mean, in the state of our world today, with what we have going on with strange viruses, playing 741 megahertz music off of, you know, YouTube or Apple, whatever it is that you use, will change the frequency in and around your body and home.
Yes.
Absolutely. And also, you know, there's the power of, you know, people praying together or chanting together. I remember when Deb and I went to see Greg Braden in Mexico, and then the following year in New Mexico, he talked about, I forget if it was a man or a woman, that they had some type of tumor in their stomach, and the doctors chanted over this person, and they had the tumor like it was up on a monitor, and it disappeared.
Yes, I am living proof of that. I'm waiting, pending my MRI to prove that I have also had that done.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people who want to call us, you know, crazy or woo-woo, but this stuff, you can't argue with these facts. This is really happening and this really works.
That's right. And mentally, I think that's the game changer. Like, I am not opposed to the people who say, yes, we have all these things to be stressed about. Okay, but you can choose to be stressed or you can choose not to be stressed.
Exactly.
And I don't have perfect days every day. I mean, I am still a human being. But 10 years ago to now, the things that will send me awry are very different.
Exactly. And you hit on a great point. I mean, this suffering, and that means mental suffering as well, that is a choice.
It is. I mean, I've seen people be sick for weeks with a hangnail, and I've seen people that are at stage 4 something survive, and they're the healthiest people I know because they refused to believe that something awful was going to happen. And I'm not saying that you can't avoid death. I mean, quite frankly, we're none of us are getting out of here alive, and peace is on the other side. So, you know, eventually you want to go there. I just want to be very old when I do.
Yes.
But the time here, although we have lessons to learn, is never going to be easy. But boy, can you make it easier with your mental mindset.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you had talked about the fact that you used to have kind of the victim's mentality, and I did as well. It was, you know, everything was happening to me and life just sucks and this isn't fair. And at that time, I had all kinds of problems. You know, my asthma was really bad, horrible sinus issues, back problems. And a lot of that has gone away or is minimal now.
Right. It's amazing what you will pull in with your frequencies. I mean, this is where we get into the law of attraction, the manifestation. It's amazing what just a couple of negative statements in your day will start to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, go do something silly. When all of a sudden you catch yourself in that whole woe is me or oh gosh, or, you know, there's other people in the world that you have to share space with and they're not always in the best mental mindset. You know, I've gone into the bathroom and done ridiculously childish things to make myself laugh, but it works.
Yes.
It works. I mean, it would not be beyond you coming over to, you know, Dragonflies and Amber, and you guys have seen the unicorn cape. You got to put it on sometimes. Like, do I feel ridiculous? Yes. And that's the point.
That's the point. Yes, exactly.
Yes. I'm glad you used the word silly because I don't think there's enough silliness.
There really isn't. And I was given advice from a great man one time who said, sweetheart, you will always have to be responsible, but you do not necessarily have to be mature. And yes. I have lived that, much to the dismay of many mainstream bosses in banking and real estate.
Oh, same. In fact, and this was so crazy, in my last job, I remember I had been there only a short time and I was a manager of a new team and I had brought in somebody I knew from a past company and we were laughing about something and we were scolded for laughing. And I just thought, this is insane. This is just,
right?
You know, or, you know, a lot of kids, you know, were told, you know, stop being so silly, and downplaying that when it's such a powerful thing.
It is a powerful thing. Laughter, honest to God, the best medicine. I know Yes. We've all heard it, but it truly, truly is. I mean, I can't tell you how many days that could have gone awry have been stopped by that, whether it was, you know, a medical issue, a child issue, a spousal issue, a work issue, whatever it is. If all of a sudden you can start not making a joke out of it because there's issue that needs to be dealt with, but dealing with it on the lighter side by putting it into perspective, because you really got to look at the how big is big, because we will take the smallest everyday problem and we will make it in our mind a world crisis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if we're not responding from the place where it's a world crisis and we're responding to a little bit of perspective, like we're on the is anybody sick or dying plan here? Yes. Okay. So homework's a little frustrating. But is anybody sick or dying? So does there need to be this much drama around it?
Right.
Right.
But we're just not taught. We're not taught that.
Yeah. Right.
Of course, we are now. We are now because we're tapping into that collective. Like there is something to be said, Carol, about that collective mind that you experienced, you know, in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that's actually a great segue to my next question. So can you give our listeners maybe some advice or some tips on how they can learn to trust their intuition more, or maybe hear it? Because, you know, when you're not that open or that aware, you're ignoring it, or maybe you're hearing it, but you're like, oh, that's dumb, or no, I can't do that. How can we sort of help raise the collective?
Well, to lighten the importance of that question, I will tell you, if you have made me the adult in this situation, we're all in trouble. It really is just getting to know yourself a little bit better and opening your mind to all that is. So we all automatically go to the you must meditate, which I agree. You need to learn to quiet that intellect because it can be crippling. You get into the analysis paralysis, like we're all taught to do, you're going to struggle with trying to learn who you really are. So I firmly believe in meditation, but not the Buddhist style meditation where you have to sit on a mountain for an hour and a half. I have way too much going on to be able to do that. So there's a big difference between meditation and the meditative state. You can get into the meditative state by driving and all of a sudden mentally you're there. Like you just, how did I even get here? Well, you got into that state, or reading a book and everything around you disappears. I'm big on guided meditations online.
Yeah.
But I can only do the 13, 14, 15 minute ones. Otherwise, I'm starting to make my grocery list.
Right.
Right.
I love, you know, who's always in favor of a warm bath with a glass of wine.
Yes.
Because yes. All you have to do is start out small.
Mm-hmm.
So just do the little things that get your mind quiet, and you'll be surprised how much you start to learn about yourself or your environment, because the information just quietly flows to you. You know, and then you can do the bigger things, like, you know, take a class, do reading. You know, there are miraculous teachers and authors out there everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's up to you and where you want to start. I always say start off small, because if you try to eat that whole apple, you're going to choke on it. So if you take small little bites, all of a sudden you can eat a whole bushel.
Yeah. Well, and it's,
if that makes sense.
And yeah, it does. And I think you've probably seen this, Julie, when people start waking up, how hungry they are for new information and learning all of these things. And you get to a point where you're almost overwhelmed. You're like oversaturated. So I think that's a really good advice, to take small bites, digest it, because there's plenty out there. There's plenty of information, and you're always going to be learning.
Absolutely. I mean, I find I learn from every conversation, especially conversations with my son.
Yeah.
The brilliance that comes out of this child, out of the mouths of babes,
because yeah.
they don't have that filter that tells them it's wrong to feel or see something.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to really getting to know yourself is to feel and stop thinking. You've got to feel what's going on inside around you. You've got to feel what's going on around you. And some of that's really uncomfortable. And, you know, I saw a statistic the other day that really kind of blew me away, but it was in the modalities of sound healing and energy medicine and meditation. And they were saying, and I'm not discounting any type of psychiatry, but they were saying 99 appointments in psychology has a tendency to be 6 to 8 energy medicine treatments, because so much gets done on an energetic or subconscious level. So again, I go to, don't not go to your therapist should you need one. But add in energy medicine, because you're going to learn in your psychologist's office how to intellectualize things that you have been through, or maybe something chemically that's going on with you. But they're not teaching you energetically or emotionally how to cope with the information. And a lot of that happens on the subconscious level when your mind is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you imagine being able to not have to do 99 appointments?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. Both Carol and I have had several different types of energy work, and it is, it's miraculous. I don't know any other term for it other than that.
And it's funny, because sometimes I catch myself honestly trying to cap my enthusiasm, because when I get an energy medicine treatment, or you have that conversation that is in its own right energetically healing, and you don't even realize you're getting into the conversation, the excitement or the euphoria or the inner child that comes out of me is almost uncontrollable.
Yeah.
Like, people are looking for this euphoria and they're going to medications, or they're going to, you know, a recreational drug. And I mean, no judgment to them, but you can get this same feeling from surrounding yourself with your tribe.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And Deb and I remember, you know, the second time we met with you, when it was just you and I think Emily was there too. And
yes.
we've had on the show, and we'll have on again, but
yet another amazing person. I have had to cross my path. My life would not be the same.
Oh yeah. Well, and I just remember just the buzziness going on, and we could have talked for hours. It was just such a high when you're around this and like-minded people. And obviously we could talk about this kind of thing all day long.
Absolutely. We call it the vortex of dragonflies and amber, because we all tell our significant others and or friends and family that we're going over there for a half an hour. And the next thing you know, 3 hours is gone.
Yes. That's exactly it. Well, this has been super fun to talk to you. But before we wrap up, what are your upcoming plans for Dragonflies in Amber? And you might not have an answer, because I know it's pretty inspired, but is there anything that you can share?
So my answer is that I'm going to pay very strict attention to universe, and that I'm going to use my intellect to execute whatever it brings to my plate, because I could not plan what has happened over the last year. We're just coming up on our year anniversary of opening the door. And I never, ever would have been able to create what has created itself. So my job is to teach myself and everybody around me to just pay attention to what's being sent to you and what resonates with you and what doesn't. And if you follow those divine breadcrumbs, your life is going to be an amazing experience.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Completely agree with that.
Absolutely.
And although Julie has talked quite a bit about dragonflies and amber, I want everyone to know she just mentioned they're coming up on their 1 year anniversary. She's already had to move to a space, what, double the size of the original space, Julie?
It is, and we're outgrowing that already. Thank you, universe.
It's just crazy.
In the best way.
Yes, yes. I am crazy in the best way.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Ladies, as always, it's a pleasure spending time with you.
We love talking with you. So obviously people can find you at dragonfliesandamber.com.
Yes.
We'll put that in the show notes.
Yes, because there are 19 or 20 of you practicing out of there. So this isn't about me. Dragonflies and Amber is a community. So you will never hear the word I coming out of there.
Right. And the people there are... Again, just amazing. I don't even have the right adjectives.
Yeah, people say to me all the time, like, what do you do there? And I'm like, we create a ripple effect. There's no other way to explain what we do. So whether it's, you know, recovering from a trauma and you're more on the intellectual side, or you need nutrition information, or do you want to learn to hover? Like, we cover that whole gamut with one of our practitioners.
Yeah. I mean, you walk through the doors and you can feel it.
Yes.
It's absolutely amazing. Carol, any last thoughts?
No. Again, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. I can't wait to see where life brings us, ladies.
I know. We're very excited. We just love hanging out with you guys. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us and listening today. As always, you can catch the show on our website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Definitely, if you are local, check out dragonfliesandamber.com. I'm telling you, there is just so much to learn and see and experience, and it is well worth your time and your investment. So please check it out. Julie, again, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you. It was an honor.
And everybody, we will see you next time.